Please keep your Bibles open there. Most of you, I guess, would have heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Bollocks, isn't it? We can all recall a time when words have sliced our hearts open like a knife. It may have been an argument. It may have been the cruelty of another. It may have been a careless offhand comment. But whatever it was, it caused pain. Pain that sometimes stayed with us for days, weeks, even years. I remember as a kid, even to this day, some of the teasing that I used to get. I must have been only 8 or 9 years old, and kids used to tease me about my nationality. Ching Chong Chinaman was probably the kindest of them, but other rubbish like that. Now, I'm proud of my heritage now, but back in those days at such a tender age, there weren't many Chinese around. I was the only Chinese person in my class, the only non-Anglo-Saxon in my class. And all I wanted to do was to be like everybody else, to fit in, not to be noticed for being different. And all these kids did was to make sure that did not happen. It's sad and pathetic, I know. But an 8-year-old heart is a delicate thing. It's fragile and precious. It's easily damaged and it's difficult to mend. And from a very young age, we as people start constructing walls around our hearts in order to protect them from hurt and pain. The problem is, no wall, no matter how high or solid, can protect it against the power of the tongue. Words can be used as weapons for which there is no defense. What we say can do damage that can never be repaired. Sticks and stones may break bones, but words can actually demolish and destroy. And so God's word today to us is to watch our words and to be careful what we say. Now, this passage gives us two main reasons. The first reason is the power of the tongue. Come with me back to verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. And when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Now, in these verses, James uses two illustrations to make the very same point. He starts with a horse. Now, I know nothing about horses. The only horse I've ridden went up and down in circles and had a big pole sticking out of its back. I believe, however, to steer a real horse, you only need to pull on the bit in its mouth and it will go the direction that you pull it. Pull the bit to the left, horse goes left. Pull the bit to the right, horse goes right. The bit is very little. Maybe that's why they call it a bit, I don't know. The bit is very little, but it controls the whole beast. Same with a sailboat. Huge boat, massive sail, but under the hull is a little flap called a rudder by which you can steer the whole thing. It's very little, but controls the whole boat. Likewise, verse 5a, the tongue, it's just a little thing, but it controls the whole body or controls one's life. That's the idea here. That's why the tongue can make great boasts. It has a great influence over our lives. That echoes Proverbs 13:3, where it says, "He who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin." Basic idea is that if you've got a big mouth, you can end up messing up your whole life. I think in the main it's talking about relationships, If you are careless with your words, you keep hurting those around you with what you say, you end up with no one around you. The tongue is just a little thing, but it wields enormous power. However, a further problem with this is that the power the tongue possesses is poisonous. And that's the second reason we need to be careful what we say. Verse 5, second sentence. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now, we know only too well here in Australia the relentless devastation of fires and bushfires. One spark can wipe out a forest. Well, James says the tongue is a fire. It is a world of evil in our bodies and corrupts our whole lives. It is the spark that can set the course of one's life on the path of destruction. And again, if we don't control it, it can do damage that is devastating to others and in turn hurts us. The problem is, how do you control the tongue? See, what is also frightening about the evil the tongue harnesses is our inability to harness it. What do I mean? Ever stub your toe or drop a glass or something like that and a swear word escapes? Even a Christian swear word? Schweppes. You ever fly off the handle in a temper or a rage? If you have, I can guarantee that you said something you probably shouldn't have. Ever find yourself in a conversation about someone else and you know you've gone too far because too far is actually to be in the conversation? But you haven't stopped because you've wanted to know the prayer points. We've been there, haven't we? Or have you ever had to shush up because the person you're talking about walked into the room? What about road rage? What do you say when someone cuts you off or someone does something stupid in front of you? Yeah, there have been times I've had to turn around to my children in the back of the car and say, "Daddy shouldn't have said that. It was wrong." Verse 7 says that even though we can subdue all sorts of animals and birds and sea creatures, from lions to elephants to bears, yet we cannot tame the tongue. And if anyone thinks they can tame the tongue, then as verse 2 says, he or she is perfect. See, this is a problem we all have. The tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It's like a hungry caged tiger ready to strike where and when it can. So the tongue is not only powerful, but it is an evil and difficult to control power. And then in verses 9 to 12, James really throws down the gauntlet to Christians in relation to how we use our tongues. He says in verse 9 that with our tongues we both praise God and curse men. And verse 10, out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. This should not be, he chides. Why? Verse 11. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives and a grapevine bear figs? Well, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. See, one spring cannot produce two kinds of water, good water and bad water, salt and fresh. One type of tree can't bear another type of fruit. In other words, bad talk can't come from a good tree or a good spring. So if bad talk is coming out, what does it tell you about its source? And you know what the source of our words is, don't you? It's the heart. What comes out of our mouths is just the overflow of what is in our hearts. Our tongues do not have a mind of their own. They are driven by our very hearts. Matthew 12, 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, verse 34, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Words then are mirrors reflecting what's in the heart. Bad words are the mouthpiece of the evil that exists within. And so the next time you say something you should not, check your heart and what's going on there. Now here James is not saying you are all evil because you say bad stuff. What James is doing here is getting us to see the inconsistency of bad things coming from our mouths so that we will seek not to do it. He knows we do it. And he's giving us the reasons to try to stop it. It's the power to harm, and it's also the diagnosis of the heart. That's what this is saying. Now, why did I choose this passage? Come back with me to verse 1. I didn't forget about it. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, James gets into this whole topic of words by talking about teachers or teaching. Now, most of us here do that, or will do that, and not just the college students. We teach God's word. Our role in teaching is words. We are word people. We use them a lot. And as teachers, therefore, they tend to impact more people. And by extension, I think this also applies to youth leaders and Sunday school teachers and Bible study leaders. Not just more college graduates. Now, here he's not saying that no one should teach. He's simply warning those who do. Why? Two reasons. One, teachers will be judged more strictly, it says there. Harshly or severely, I think, is probably a better translation. What does that mean? Not really sure. But we know it's, one, bad, and it is warned against. And two, it indicates that those who teach bear more responsibility. Hence the stricter or the harsher or more severe judgment. Two, in verse 2, it says we all stumble in many ways. Now, the NIV has left out a very important little word in verse 2. And that is the word for, gar in the Greek. It should read, without the full stop, after verse 1, for we all stumble in many ways. Clearly connecting it to verse 1. And, of course, therefore talking about, definitely including our words and how we use them. In other words, we who teach need to be especially careful with our words, because we use so many of them, and we can stuff up, and we do stuff up in many word ways, unless, of course, you are perfect. Anyone? Anyone? This applies, you see, to us all. And it's sobering. So let's get practical as we finish. How do we do that? How do we be more careful with our words, knowing it's so difficult to control the tongue? Can I suggest a couple of things? One, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Still James, chapter 1, verse 19, 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. God gave us two ears, one mouth. This verse says use it in that proportion. How many times have you shot your mouth off only to realize you fired too soon because you haven't listened to the full story? We're spoken to quickly, and we've listened to loosely. These verses, chapter 1, verse 19, 20, also link hasty speech with anger. Well, you and I both have hundreds, if not thousands, of things we regret saying in the heat of anger. We snap. We let fly. Now, I'm not saying that sometimes people don't deserve to be pulled up, but don't we overdo it sometimes? Don't we go over the top? Don't we speak in a way that we would hate to be spoken to ourselves? And especially with family. There's an old Chinese proverb. Actually, I don't know if it's old, and I don't know if it's Chinese. And I don't know where I got it from. But it just sounds wise when you say it. It's an old Chinese proverb. Anyway, go with me. It's an old Chinese proverb. Anyway, it goes like this. Do not use a hatchet to remove a fly from your friend's forehead. Good, isn't it? Further, if we are slow to speak, we can think about our words and how to express them rather than speak quickly and recklessly. Because at the end of the day, whatever someone has supposedly done, is it really worth it to hurt them back or to make them feel small? So before we speak, listen. Listen. And then, before we respond, take a moment or 10. And secondly, we need to keep remembering and reminding ourselves that words are powerful and can have an evil, devastating impact on others and in turn on ourselves. And this reflects Proverbs 12. 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword. See, words can penetrate like a knife. And as a result, what you say can alter the course of not just your life, but somebody else's. You know, I saw a mother go off at a kid once in a shopping centre in Fairfield, calling him every name under the kid's like 5 or 6. Now, I don't know what the kid did, but nothing warrants being called a useless piece of, and you can imagine the swear word, an effing fool, a bleeping idiot. And you get the picture, and I'm sure you can add the foul language. Now, that kid will never recover from that. He will not. His heart has sustained lifelong damage. Time may dull the pain, but the scar of that will remain. See, hurtful words are like a nail hammered into wood. You know, you can try to take it back, you can pull the nail out, but that hole will always be in that wood. Even if you're filling in with the putty or whatever, the hole is still there. I know young people who as young adults had their father say to their face, "You're nothing and I wish I never had you," in the heat of argument. You do not recover from that. These people have ended up abusing substances, both legal and illegal. Their lives have come to ruin. And nothing, not the most heartfelt, sincere apology, can erase that sort of damage. Wounds like that do not heal. Scar tissue on the heart is permanent. Now, these may be extreme. And you might be sitting there never imagining that you could do anything or say anything like that to anyone else. But unless you're perfect, you do not know. That's what verse 2 was all about. We all have the potential to do this kind of damage. See, if you are you ever harsh? You have potential to do damage. Are you ever impatient, quick-tempered? You have potential to do damage. Maybe you're the joker in the crowd. Maybe you're the person who always has that quick, witty reply. Maybe you're just not very aware of other people. Maybe you're just human. But you see, a hasty, ill-considered, over-the-top reaction can transport someone back to experiences they've tried to forget their whole lives. A careless joke can strike at the agony of sensitivities that you never imagined people had. A thoughtless comment can break a heart without you even realising it. I know quite a number of childless couples. One couple told me that a person once said to them that they better get a move on in relation to having children, not knowing that they could not have children. But that simple, apparently harmless comment came at their lowest point and finally crushed their spirit. They knew, this couple knew it wasn't intentional, but it clouded their relationship with that person to this very day. No harm intended, but much damage done. We need to be careful with our words. When someone is seared by a reckless word, it can change them for good. So before you use them, remember the power of what you're about to say. So before we speak at any time to anyone, we need to ask, will it help or hinder? Will this hurt or heal? Jesus, of course, is our model for how we use our words and what words to use. He, of course, is God's word to us. So we would do well to listen to him, to study his words and apply them. And if any of us are teachers of his word, let Jesus be the content and the character of all our words, not just our teaching ones. Let's watch our words and be careful what we say. Because I have an inkling that inside every one of us beats the heart of an 8-year-old. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your Son, your word to us. And Father, we ask now that you would, by your Spirit, enable us to heed, apply, and obey your word for the sake of others and for the sake of your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.